You gonna start?
I was waiting for you to jump in, Mr. Forgotten.
Well, I was just, you know, continuing to be forgotten.
This is Tony the Forgotten.
And this is Justin the Forgetful.
All right. Hey, this is Justin and Tony with Technology Rocks Podcast. I promise we will not talk about Wi-Fi today. Wi-Fi's been a big subject, but we're not going to talk about it. Housekeeping.
We already did talk about it.
That's true. We talked about not talking about it. So, general housekeeping, Comic Palooza, May 24th, 25th, 26th for T-Dog, booth 1932. He'll be there drawing and signing stuff and doing all the things.
Yeah, I'll be selling prints. I also have original paintings available. Concept art for comic books that I've done and one that is in the works.
Right. Sip and Paint is postponed because there's an art festival on April 13th, so we're not sure. We'll have to get with Shelley on that. And then Wine and Vinyl is TBD because of equipment malfunction issues and trying to find vendors that have the right circuit boards and stuff like that to get all the things repaired. So that's kind of a TBD thing. I know we're working with Shelley on a few different options for that. But so we'll make an announcement there. Movie news, Roadhouse released today. Ghostbusters says it's releasing tomorrow, but theaters are showing it.
Yeah, but there are theaters that already have showtimes for today.
Yeah, so theaters are actually showing it today. That's Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. So the original cast is actually coming back as well. So Ernie Hudson and Dan Aykroyd and Bill Murray. And then the original crew from Afterlife along with... good grief. Paul Rudd. Thank you. Paul Rudd, who never ages. Everybody hates him because he never ages. Paul Rudd's coming back for that movie and continuing on with the new franchise with the same director, one of the Ripman, son of the Egon, is actually the one who's directing it and producing it like he did Afterlife. So I think it's kind of cool because he literally grew up on the Ghostbusters set. So there's nobody can really eat, breathe, or sleep that movie like that character. And so, yeah, pretty fun stuff. I hope they don't pull a Force Awakens and kill any of the original people off because that was already sad enough that we lost Harold Ramis last year, three years ago, I think he was when he died. But that's gonna be cool. That's gonna be fun. I'll probably check out Roadhouse tonight. I'm just curious about the Conor McGregor part. Then I know Jake Gyllenhaal will probably knock it out of the park because he always does. But interested to see what Conor McGregor does on his first acting debut. Looks like he's actually in the movie quite a bit on this one. So, movie news. Still haven't seen Dune 2. Barely made it through Dune 1. Already kind of went, you know, it's a good movie. You know, I understand why it's so slow-paced, and because of the director that it is, I didn't realize it was the same guy from the newest Blade Runner, so that explains a whole lot about cinematography and shot-for-shot detail and things like that. He builds a lot of stuff up with cinematography and photography and things to speak, and which is maybe why I keep going to sleep through it, because it's just exhausting. In some cases, there's just a lot going on. So anyway, getting into your technology cast today, I think we'll jump into hot topics in technology, and then we'll probably touch base a little bit on our theater series that we've been covering, technology topics. Tony found a cool one this morning about the microchip thing.
Yeah, Neuralink. The company that Elon Musk is trying to revolutionize, brain computer interfaces with, they implanted a brain reading device that actually, like now, I I can't remember the guy's name, but he had an accident. He was a diver and became a quadriplegic. And now with this new chip that has been inserted into his brain, he can control the cursor on his computer screen so he can play games and stuff like that. So it's one step closer to, what do you call that? Skynet.
That or Universal Soldier? Well, no, Universal Soldier, they were dead. They don't, I don't think they were quadruplegic. I think they were dead
Robocop
soldiers.
Then.
Robocop, well, Robocop was, he was dead too. Yeah, no, it's just weird. I'm just going to throw it out there. Whatever it's close to, it's flipping weird.
I just don't think I need to put a computer inside my brain. My brain's already computer enough as it is.
I think too many people have computers in their brains, and it's called cell phones and earbuds and watches and, you know, and sometimes multiple cell phones. And I haven't seen anybody do rock two watches
well,
yet.
Well, my only concern with that is if it's reading his brain waves to do things, then your brain never sleeps. Your body does, but your brain never sleeps. It's always doing stuff.
So
at what point does it malfunction and then it's doing stuff in your sleep and then...
So here's an interesting thing. I'll have to bring
a
friend of mine on to discuss this, because he kind of jumped off the deep end into this subject, and there's actually a theory and a method out there called biohacking. It's, you know, hacking your body's biological makeup to make it function better. And there's been a lot of studies on cell phones and Wi-Fi and how it affects your brain waves and why people are having trouble sleeping and things like that. I know several instances, there have been studies where people that sleep with their cell phones next to their bed, in their certain radio frequency. Again, this jumps into tinfoil hat. I'm not a doctor. I haven't studied this. I've just studied the tech behind it and get asked a lot about the tech behind it. But there are certain medical professionals out there that believe that these types of radio waves and frequency waves actually keep your body awake. If you think about what your brain does is it's electronic pulses that it sends to your fingers and your toes and things like that, through your sensory spinal cord and whatnot, and it sends those. That's how your brain tells your feet to move and your toes to move and your fingers to wiggle and things like that. That's why in some cases amputees, you know, still feel like they have a foot, because their brain can still send messages that direction, but it's not doing anything because there's nothing connected, you know. So there are studies where where cell phones actually increase that brain function and activity, that your brain sees it as a foreign RF device.
And I have noticed, since you've been talking about this, I'm sorry to cut you off.
No, go ahead.
But the closer my phone is, because I still keep it on the bedside table and all that, but if I keep it on my, like, pillow or underneath my pillow and all, I'm waking up constantly.
Well, first of all,
my brain just won't shut off.
First of all, don't do that anymore. There was an article that Apple released just recently, and they're telling people, please, 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 please do not allow your children to sleep with phones or iPads and things like that, because what happens is when you keep them under a pillow, they have a tendency to overheat. There's actually a lady.
Yeah, they can actually catch fire. Yeah. And I know that's happened
to a lady, and it caught her. She had third-degree burns on her face, you know, or second-degree burns on her face. And because of her phone catching, her battery overheating and exploding because it was still plugged in. And they're now even saying that to not even if it's not plugged in, don't do that. But that has more to do with overheating. But with that being said, there has been a study that it can, and again, this is just out there, what people are talking about, what we get asked about, because we are experts in a technology community. I don't see that there's not truth to those things. Again, RF frequency does affect brain pattern and brain. There are studies where it does affect brain waves and things like that. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense why it wouldn't affect things as you're crossing that threshold where it keeps you up and keeps you awake.
See, I think
and
what's happening.
Keep you awake and things like that. I mean, I know people have had the phantom vibrate in their leg,
and,
you know, when
you
they
know,
don't
I,
have their cell phone.
I've experienced that. That's real, whether you want to believe it or not.
It is. You know, it is.
But what I think's going on is just like these waves of wireless technology are going through the air, and it's going from one device to another and all that.
You're in the middle of it.
Your body is electric. There are electrical impulses all through your body that tell things what to do and how to react and all that.
And it keeps those awake and it treats it as foreign. Yeah,
I don't think that it is impossible for your phone to not affect your body because of just natural waves that are being sent out by it, you know. And what I think would be a more interesting thing, and this is a dangerous thing for me to even say, is to, instead of putting something in your brain, since your body can detect those waves and all of that, more or less write a program that interacts with your body.
So a few people
wirelessly.
Well, a few people have already discussed that. Elon Musk actually already released an article that we're really, really close. Mark Zuckerberg did the same thing and said we are so very close to actually being able to do that with some of the technologies that they're already doing research and development on. But here's the other thing that people are generally concerned. I said we weren't going to talk about Wi-Fi, but I'm going to talk about Wi-Fi for a minute.
Which just shows that Wi-Fi is part of everything.
You know, true, but there's a lot of things that are, there's a lot of study out there that Wi-Fi strength in your bedroom can actually keep you awake and things like that. Because again, your body sees that as a foreign impulse, and it's trying, your brain, it's one of the few organs that we know a whole lot about.
It sounds like our brains just don't know how to communicate with it.
Well,
yet.
it treats it like a sugar, you know, a false sweetener. You know, your body doesn't know how to react to a false sweetener, so therefore it kind of just stores it or turns it into something else, unlike it does sugar. You know, and that's part of the reason why NutraSweet and things like high fructose corn syrup, things like that. Your body sees that as a foreign thing, and it treats it as a different foreign thing. And when it goes into that, it's just one of those things that it doesn't understand it. And so it stores it or it turns it into something different. The RF frequency is the same thing. And not a whole lot of...
It sounds like a foreign language that eventually our brain is going to learn how to communicate with.
Right. Yeah. No. So for sure. Yeah. And so that's what there's a lot of study that's going on. You have to think cell phone technology is a very new thing. Wi-Fi is actually not that old. If you think about cell phones, they came out, 20 years ago? You know, more than that. They're almost 25 years ago. I mean,
somewhere around there.
Even longer.
Still very new technology.
But we don't know a lot about it.
Because
we're making them more. We're making them powerful. Like, we're making them.
Yeah, like cell phone technology came out, at least to the public, I know for sure, in the 80s, because that's when you had those big brick Motorola things.
Yeah, no, yeah, that and the car, like, phones, you had car phone, you had the backpack with the...
So, but the technology as we know it now is still even younger than that, where it's actually like basically a microcomputer in your pocket.
Right. Yeah. No. So there are studies like that, that these types of things are keeping people awake and messing with their sleep patterns, or what they call REM sleep patterns. And in fact, there's folks that I know that don't even allow TVs in their bedroom. They don't allow.
Yeah, we were at a client's house recently. It was like,
no. We get asked quite a bit. Hey, can I shut my Wi-Fi off at a certain time, or shut my router off at a certain time, or shut this off at a certain time? So there's a lot of different things out there that people are genuinely concerned about. You know, I can tell you that when I moved into a house where we did not have services activated as of yet, and we didn't have Wi-Fi set up and Sonos set up and stuff like that, that was those two nights were probably the best sleep I've had in a long time. And I can't tell you why it was the best sleep I've had in a long time, but it could have something to do with that. I know now I do not sleep with my cell phone in my bedroom. I sleep with it in the opposite room. That way, if people that text me at the end of the middle of the night, that's why I'm not answering my text message, because I don't hear it. In some cases, I'll put it on do not disturb and whatnot. So there's a lot of different things out there that I have started to try, just to see if it would help. It would help sleep patterns and whatnot. So if you're interested in that and shutting some of those things down at night, then yeah, it's easy to do. It's not hard to do. You just have to remember that lots of things run on Wi-Fi. So if you're a TV watcher at night, it's probably not going to work because your network shut down. So there's a lot of stuff that ties into that people don't think about. But yeah, no, I'm not sure how I feel about any type of microchip being in my brain that has anything to do with Elon Musk. So it's just, just kind of weird to me.
But, well, his brilliance is actually to a scary level at this point.
Well, he thinks on a different level. If you think, the other thing so here's the cool thing that's interesting about that. Is if you can put a microchip in your brain and you have one of those animated robotic arm things, then that means theoretically you could control what that hand and what those fingers do and things like that until it malfunctions. So, you know, so it's just, I think yep. There's a lot of undiscovered country there and a lot of weird things and a lot of that's being developed on the military side for things where you have high amputee rate and things like that.
We've seen someone like this in the past.
Right.
His name was Darth Vader.
True. I think Darth Vader kind of felt in the RoboCop. Actually, no, RoboCop was still dead. Darth Vader wasn't technically dead. He was kept alive by machines. RoboCop was more just
Well, it depends on which version you're watching. If you watch the original one, which was way better.
Yeah.
The new one, they, from what I understand watching the movie, is they use that as a way to keep him alive.
Right. Yeah. No.
There was so much, at that point, there was so much, like, I mean, it was like one lung and all that. And it was like, you're not even a person anymore.
Yeah. No, you can't. It was basically a brain, spinal cord, and a face. I always had issues with the face because I was like, you can't really keep the skin alive if the body isn't alive. You know, it just, anyway, I think about things way too much. But yeah, microchips in the brain.
Hey, the Terminator had skin that was living tissue.
Yeah. True. Well, I don't know if it was living.
Yep, it was. He even bled, remember?
Or not. Oh, yeah. No, I guess it was. It just couldn't repair itself, is what it was. I think is where
it was just as slow as a real person because it was
anyway.
We digress on that.
Biohacking is a real thing. It's a lot of folks are jumping into that. A lot of people are looking at what kind of RF frequencies and what's around their house and doing site surveys, and things can be even affected by the paint on your walls, you know, and just it's very, you know, again, people want to stay younger. They want to be healthy. They want to live forever. You know, it's kind of one of those things where it's just, you know, they want to feel better. You know, they're really careful about their diet and RF thing. Again, it's an undiscovered territory. There's a lot of hoopla about 5G, and it's not good for you because you have to have more antennas to increase coverage with 5G. A lot of stuff about it. Don't know if it's true. Don't know if it isn't true. I'm kind of Switzerland until I see the tech, read the tech, and then make my own decision about it.
But we may have antennas one day.
But it's, well, it's one of those things where 2.4G has been the go-to for Wi-Fi for a long time. There we go again. And then 5G is not the bubble. It's the beam-forming triangle like I kind of touched on yesterday. So there's a lot of things as you add more antennas, it increases coverage, yes, but it also increases RF bandwidth. It also increases RF bandwidth because it's faster, it's more powerful, you have more of them because you have to have more of them for increased coverage. So a lot of folks are worried about that, you know. But the thing about it is, ladies and gentlemen, you can't shut it down completely. Why? Because I can go in anybody's home and see your neighbor's Wi-Fi network bleeding into your house, you know. And that's,
well, we were down the street from our client's house yesterday, and you were still getting
Wi-Fi speeds.
And we were like far down the street. We were down several houses.
Yeah, so you can't get 100% away from it unless you live in a cocoon of some sort, you know, or a bubble of some sort. So, but biohacking is a thing, you know. If you're interested in it, look it up. It's kind of a cool thing. There's a whole just
genetic modification.
Yeah, it's not even that. It's more of being aware of things around you and having an awareness of things around you and trying to remove those things from your life. So, but you know, Wi-Fi is going to be like the secondhand smoke for people that don't want it around them, though. So there's no way you're really going to get away from it.
It's funny, the some of the people that you're talking about, they're trying to turn this off, you know, by a certain time of day and all. Yet these are also the same people that are buying cars where they sit in the middle of exactly what they're trying to get away from.
In the garage and communicate via Wi-Fi. Yeah, no, there's... I don't know, man. I don't understand it.
I want to get away from it, but I need it.
I'm not going to poop on it. I don't understand the thing about it, you know, what's really interesting. Here, so that's a different subject. That's like batteries. That's like Tesla, the Tesla owner crowd and the Rivian owner crowd and the electric car owner crowd. There's
a lightning and all that.
There's a lot of theory behind it. The one question that can't be answered about it is what happens to the batteries when you can't use them anymore? You know, what happens to the nickel when you can't, because it becomes toxic, it's toxic waste. What happens? What's the environmental impact of that? Most of them don't care and they don't think that far ahead. They just like the Tesla. Hey, the Tesla's freaking cool. I can be sitting in my car, not driving, and watch YouTube as I'm going to work. You and I saw it at a Home Depot parking lot, and I was like, well, that's Back to the Future too.
Yeah,
you
I know? Saw one this morning off in 99, turning on
it. It may be the same one, or
but,
it's probably the same one.
But, I mean, I like the idea. I like the idea when I saw the car that drove itself in Minority Report, where he just got in the car and then it went down and onto the freeway and took him where he needed to go. I was like, man, that's awesome. I can sit there and draw while my car drives me wherever I need to go.
I think Arnold Schwarzenegger was in a movie like that, too, called Sixth Day or whatever. It was the Sixth Day Violet.
Oh, yeah. Total Recall, Johnny Cab.
Yep, Johnny Cab, and then Johnny Cab was probably the first, and then Sixth Day, and then the other one. So all of that's always been brought into movies and things like that. So I think the concept is cool. I've always had two questions about that particular technology. One is, if every car you see on the freeway and out in the parking lot were to plug into the grid would not sustain it. And then number two, what happens to the batteries when they go? You know, what happens to that? I know that if my Jeep or the BMW, whatever, you know, what you name a car out in the parking lot, if when that car is retired, then every one of those parts can be recycled and reused and used on other vehicles. I don't know that about a Tesla. I just don't. And again, I don't know enough about it to have a really large opinion or a big opinion about it or a opinion against it. But I don't even know how we got on this topic, but it's interesting because it's technology and it rocks. So, but anyway, I don't see myself jump. In fact, I know of one of my clients. I know several clients that have them, but I know one of my clients that says he loves it, but he's not going to be a rebuyer of it because he misses the sound and feel of his engine. He was like, I love being able to sling it around corners. I love being able to shift manually. He's a driver. You know, he's like, the Tesla is not a driver's car. It's a quick car and it's a fast car, but it's not a driver's car.
Okay, but you know, we live in the video game age. You can just make the car like a video game, and people think they're doing stuff, and they're not really doing it.
Well,
the car's still doing it all.
Well, Dodge is releasing the first what they consider muscle car coming out. So they're releasing the muscle car of the genre. It's going to look just like the Dodge Challenger, and it's going to be considered a muscle car. But Pioneer is making an audio system for the muscle car to go underneath the car for engine noises. So,
yeah. Well, it, you know, turns what we're saying into reality, where what we do is like a
Imagine people calling us, hey, man, can you suit my speakers underneath my car to make them play louder? Well, go ahead.
What I was going to say is, like, the supposed time one of these batteries in an electric car should last is 300 to 500,000 miles.
So I've heard.
Or 1,500 charges.
So I've heard that, but I've also heard that same analogy with laser projectors that are supposed to last 20,000 hours, and we have them in the field that are 5 years old that need to be serviced that are 30 feet in the air. So that's what I'm saying. It's just like, I don't know. You know, I don't know how any of that works. We would have to get a Tesla owner in here to talk about their Tesla experience. Every Tesla owner I know, with exception of two, and we know a lot of them, love them. They'll never go back. They've purchased multiples. You know, they've replaced it with multiples. Because they don't have to get oil changes anymore. They don't have to do general maintenance. They don't have belts to change. The only thing they have to do is brakes and tires. That's it for the life of the vehicle. Brakes and tires. That's it. You know, and there's that. But if you think about it, you don't have to have any type of general maintenance or filters changed and things like that. And it's just, you know, and it's the only, and this is a feather in their direction, it's the only auto manufacturer that literally gives you firmware updates that improves your vehicle. You can get a firmware update that improves the acceleration and battery life of your vehicle. You know, how would you like to wake up the next morning and say, oh, I got 60 more horsepower in my vehicle, you know, this morning? It's like, that's pretty darn neat, you know? But the Tesla truck doesn't make sense to me, as far as it's more of a tootle around town car. It's not a I need to pull a car across the country type of vehicle. You know, it's up. I think the longest anybody, he was towing 6,000 pounds, and the furthest he made it was 90 miles, you know, and so, and that was through the mountains. So that's not quite a fair test, but my Ford F-250 can make it through the mountains, and my Ford F-350, I don't have that, but it would. You know, I can go through, you know, 700 miles before I have to fill up on a tank, you know, without charging and whatnot. But 90 miles seems a little excessive for pulling said trailer. And, you know, so I know that that's the biggest kick in the stomach for that particular truck, because typically truck owners are going to be critical of that truck. So,
well, towing capacity is why you get a truck, typically.
Right. Yeah, and the other thing is, there's a lot of cool, weird things about it. Again, I don't understand the technology, and I've only ridden in a Tesla twice in my entire. I've ridden in a Porsche Panamera. in a Panamera EV or whatever the heck they call it. It's the electric Porsche version of the Tesla. And I know Ford is abandoning the platform. They're actually going back to hybrids now with half battery, half gasoline, because it just, the Ford Lightning did not sell. It was very criticized by truck owners. The Mustang, which Mach-E, which should not be called a Mustang at all. I think that was the problem, is they called it a Mustang, really. But it's kind of a cool looking car. It's just not a Mustang.
Well, it's an electric car that identifies as a Mustang.
Right. Yeah, so I'm not going to go there. I'm just not touching that. I'm not. There's too many directions that goes in, so no. It should have been called the Probe or something. It shouldn't. The problem is Ford could not call it anything but the Mustang because they ceased production of all cars except for the Mustang. They only make crossovers or SUVs or trucks. They don't do cars anymore, so that's why they call it the Mach-E. It was not accepted by the Mustang community at all. But I know Mercedes has had issues with their platform, and they're starting to get out of it. BMW, the platform just fell flat on its face. They're starting to move away from it and go back. Everybody's moving back toward hybrid technology except for Tesla. So all the things. Again, don't know how, but to Tony's point, yeah, it communicates on your Wi-Fi. It communicates on your network. It's something that's radiating RF frequency and whatnot. But there's certain things about it that are cool. Like if somebody walks around your vehicle, it takes a photograph of the person walking around your vehicle. You know, most people aren't breaking into Teslas because even if they did, they wouldn't know how to do anything with it anyway. So, but it gives you a snapshot and or video of people that are doing those things. Anyway,
well, so you know, there's a Vince Vaughn movie about that whole thing about making a muscle car that was electric, and one of the things he had to do was make it sound like a muscle car. It was called Vince The Dilemma.
Vaughn. Oh, I've never seen that movie. Okay.
Yeah. So it was funny because that movie came out, let's see here. Hold on. In 2011, and now here we are, and we just started talking about how the muscle car will have speakers that makes it
well,
sound.
Well, Dodge, I think, is abandoning aren't they getting out of the V? I think this is that last year was the last year for the V8, their V8 engine muscle car. I think they're getting out of the muscle car game and moving all to electric. I know our Lamborghini is doing that, which is weird to me because the whole thing about a Lamborghini is the sound of a Lamborghini, you know, the sound of a Ferrari, the sound of a Lamborghini. Speaking of Tesla, there's one going to the parking lot right now. So that's what I'm saying is just, it's our next door neighbors they both drive Tesla, and it's creepy. It's just like you see this thing just moving in the driveway, and you're like, what the heck is that? It's completely silent. You know, except for the only thing you hear is maybe the tires hitting the gravel or the pavement or the spinning on the gravel or the pavement. So, yeah. So there's just a lot of stuff that's on that. But no, going back to full circle, I do not want Elon Musk in my brain. So.
And in The Dilemma, the movie I was mentioning, Dodge was the company that was the car that they were using.
Yeah, no, I think I just saw an article yesterday about Dodge getting rid of there it is. Well, right. Oh, no, it's coming out this year. Will arrive in 2024, but the concept to be released next year. You know, yep, yeah, it just looks, yeah, that's what I'm looking at right now.
Car looks cool.
It looks cool. I know Pioneer is working on a patented pending technology where they can put speakers underneath the car to make it sound like a muscle car. I don't know, whatever. So it is what it is. So it goes against everything. There was something sexy, having been somebody that's built muscle cars and seeing engines on dinos, there was something amazing about seeing an engine that you built go all the way to, you know, 6,000 or 7,000 RPM and not fly apart and make the biggest largest amount of horsepower that it could go to. And there was just something awesome about that feeling, and to me there's a sexiness that's going away with it.
So it's a lot to take in, it's a lot of changes and all of that, but hey, you know, when you went from horses to vehicles, that was weird for them.
Sure.
So
a great point.
So it's just gonna, as things progress, I'm just gonna have to see what I like, what I don't like, you know, because I like old muscle cars versus newer cars.
Yeah.
But you know, it doesn't change the fact that, you know,
well,
every transition is going to be weird at first.
I know Detroit is fighting the government at the moment. There's been Ford Motor Company, Chevrolet, Dodge, I don't think so. But I think Ford, and mainly Ford and GMC and Chevrolet, meaning Cadillac and Mercury and Lincoln and all those, are actually going toe-to-toe with the current government about them slowing down the EV process and going into electric vehicles because of the lack of sales and lack thereof of those vehicles. A lot of them have caught fire on that one. I know Mercedes has had issues with that. Tesla, I'm not sure. I think Tesla is probably one of the probably the best one out there because he's the dude that kind of created the whole thing. But I know the other companies have had issues with them, reliability and whatnot, trying to jump on board with that tech. They're getting flack from the government because they're now moving away from it back into hybrid technology. So there's a lot of stuff that's going on in that front in regard to that particular platform. So it'll just be interesting. Detroit's always kind of run sideways with the government because most of the time the government has bailed them out over the years when they do the layoffs and when they hit bottom with the auto industry, which is usually direct related to the economy. So I do know there's a lot of flack. They're getting a lot of flack from this current administration because they've ceased production or have ceased research and development in this particular stratosphere, and they're moving back to hybrid, which Ford's never done a hybrid before, you know, and Chevrolet, I think, did a hybrid. Chevrolet actually released an electric car a long time ago called the Volt. You know, they came out with it way before Tesla was even thought of. It was the Chevrolet Volt. And then Ford actually had a platform even back when I worked for them called the Think. It was called the Ford Think. It was more of a golf cart thing than a actual usable car.
Yeah, it looked like a
smart
car without the
doors,
panels.
Yeah, like without the doors, and it would go up to 30 miles an hour. It was pretty fast for a golf cart thing, but it was a problematic thing. And I think they were going to try to do it with the Thunderbird, and it just never caught fire. But the Thunderbird always caught fire. There was an article about that a couple days ago that they were getting a lot of flack about it, because, and a lot of it was because they had received grant money for research and development to release electric vehicles. That's why Ford released the Lightning and the Mach-E and the van, the Transit, the Ford Transit became the electric, and they just aren't seeing any movement in that category because people just, you know.
Well, the biggest thing also is that we've just got to have a power grid that can support it, because once you start telling people, hey, you can charge your car between this time and this time, this house can charge it between this time and this time. Once you start telling that, okay, that's taking your freedom away, you know. I should be able to plug it in and not be told when I can and when I cannot
I lived in a community called Bender's Landing, and every time a frog jumped off a log, we were losing power. I mean, every 5 minutes we would get something from Entergy that we would lose power. It was getting to be where it was twice a month without air. And this is the middle of summertime, you know, and everybody's
being
told.
Maybe that frog was outside of his log time.
Could be. Everybody was being told to, hey, you need to be adjusting your thermostats to 78 degrees in the day. Well, you have animals at home. You can't keep it 80 degrees in the house when you have animals in the house. You know, it just, there's just things that you can't do. And we shouldn't, again, to your point, you shouldn't have to do it. But if everybody were to plug in their car in that same grid, it would shut down all the time. You know, it would.
Well, so even just to be able to just, you know, say, hey, I get home at 8 o'clock.
Yep.
I plug, you know, I'm home. I plug in my car. I shouldn't have to sit there and say, oh, I got to wait till 10 o'clock to plug my car in because next door, it's their time.
Yeah, well.
It shouldn't be controlled by that.
Right. Yeah. No, it shouldn't. And it is one of those things where it's the Detroit MoCo Motor Company's rebuttal to that fight was your grid, meaning nationwide, your grid cannot sustain everybody plugging in their car. It has nothing to do with making it affordable. They figured out how to make it affordable, mainly because all the gasoline cars' prices went through the roof. So it's just the affordable is all in the eye of the beholder. But we figured out a way to make it affordable. We're not seeing a high resale value for used versions of these cars, which is a big problem. And if everybody in the nation were to go buy an electric car right this second, your electrical grid would shut down because it's not sustainable. It's just not working right now. And so until you figure that problem out, you know, you let us build cars, you figure out the other part, you know, and that's kind of what Ford and Chevrolet battled back with, because they're right. They are correct. Toyota was another one that did that, said that as well. Toyota is predominantly made in America now. You know, they have plants in here in Mexico. And that's what I'm saying. It's all of these companies are kind of pumping the brakes, no pun intended, which should charge your battery. But they're pumping the brakes on some of those technologies because it's not a sustainable thing at the moment. It's 8K territory. You know, there's nothing that exists for it.
Well, you think if it requires fossil fuels to run the machines that create the electricity and you increase the amount of electricity needed, don't you think that the use of fossil fuels is just going to balance out at that point? Because more people need more electricity, so there's more fossil fuels creating the electricity.
A lot of fossil fuels are actually what's powering the chargers that are in the parking lot. So
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So just, are you really reducing,
I don't know,
the draw on fossil fuels or not? I don't think you really are. I think people just aren't paying attention.
Yeah, I don't know. I genuinely don't know on that front, just because there's so much I don't know about the infrastructure of that. I'm just kind of giving you the 10,000 foot level of it. You know, if somebody that has a Tesla wants to call in and rebuttal, then that's great. I'd love to talk to them about it. This is not what we planned on talking about today, but it's just the conversation we fell into, which actually that's fine. You know, there's nothing wrong with it's all technology related. So, but yeah, no, a lot of it is resale value. You know, if you go look at a resale value on a Tesla, it plummets. You know, they're not holding their value because there's a lot of mystery of, well, what's going to happen when the battery fails and what do I do and how much does it cost? And you know, and I know back when I had a when I had a hybrid 100 years ago, had a Toyota hybrid Highlander, I think it was the vehicle, we sold it about 30,000 to 45,000 miles because that's what Toyota told us. That's what the salesperson at Toyota told us to do. They were like, yeah, no, you want to get rid of that thing around 45,000 to 50,000 miles because, you know, the battery warranty runs out around 65,000 miles and it's about 30 grand to replace the battery. And this was back, Tony, this was back in the 2000s. You know, this is back in the early 2000s. I can't see it being cheaper. You know, I can't, but, you know, and that was almost the price of the whole flipping car. You know, the price of the car, I think, was in the 30s, you know, high 20s to low 30s at that point. And that was actually more than the price of the vehicle. So yeah, no, I don't know the answer to those questions, but I think that's why a lot of the resale value has been hurt in some of those vehicles. And I'll say the same thing with laser projectors. You know, when people trade in a laser projector, you can't change that filament out in a cost effective manner. And so it hurts the resale value if it's a high hour projector. So, but, that kind of switched gears a little bit, but yeah, no. So that's the thing, is I just don't know. But I do know it's a thing that's argued about and talked about as this administration kind of runs into the new Green Deal, quote unquote, is what they're calling it. But again, most of the flack they're getting is, you don't have something that's going to support it. So why are we going to build something that can't be supported by the masses? It doesn't make sense right now, you know, and but nothing against Tesla owners or people that are using them. So it's just, it's an awesome concept. It's a really cool car. Elon Musk is a brilliant individual that is completely misunderstood in most cases, as most brilliant individuals are, just very much like Steve Jobs, you know, who's also criticized and misunderstood in his entire career until he died. But yeah, so... but going back full circle, I'm not even really sure what platform to jump off to get back. So, yeah, because we've spent 46 minutes talking about nothing that we plan on talking about, but that's okay. That's fine. That it's, you know, something that just kind of jumped into its own discussion. So, roundabout to our home theater series. This was supposed to be our home theater series podcast today, but maybe we'll just start that next week. But home theater series, rule number one, make an experience. Rule number two, listening is subjective. And then running into rule number three on the home theater series is, are forum opinions good for you? Are they good? You know, are they good for buy? Are they good to base your buying choices off forum opinion? You know, and
they're a good starting point, but you still got to listen to the stuff. If you go based off of nothing but a forum, then I could tell you anything. I could tell you that the sky is purple.
Drink the Kool-Aid.
You know? I know. I mean, you know, that's, yeah. If you're going to base it off of just a forum, then I'm going to start off by telling you my forum knows everything, and everything that we say is gospel truth.
Right.
So everything I say and every speaker that I tell you to get is what you should get, and that's it. You know, or you can, you know, use your brain and, you know, listen to or read a few different ones, but then actually go and hear speakers, because until you actually hear it, anybody can tell you anything.
Right. Now, forum opinion is very popular right now.
It helps.
You know, so rule number three is really more of a question. Should you, shouldn't you? There are a lot of these forums out there. I'll tell you this, on a positive note about the forums, I think it's awesome that there are so many people across the country that have a common interest about something, and that includes spirited discussion, is what I'll say. And that's what I'll leave it at that. I'll leave it at spirited discussion. I do not treat what I read in there. In fact, a lot of times I have to stay out of there because I used to get so angry. In fact, I had to step down as an admin on one of those forums because I would get so just blatantly angry about this goofball said this, or this goofball said this, and he's a complete moron because this is not true, and this is a, you know, people would just look at me and be like, why are you mad about it? Well, because it's wrong. Okay, well then do something about it, which is what we're doing. That's what Technology Rocks, you know, exists now, is because here we are. We're doing something about it. We're trying to go toe-to-toe and storm the hill of the forum warriors. I will tell you this, there's a lot of good people and good information on these forums. There's also here's what makes me angry about rule number three. There are so many people out there asking basic questions that are getting laughed at, and it pisses me off to no end. I wish I could remove the laughing emoji off of these forums, because it's a basic question. Yes, that it takes a minimal amount of research to get the answer to. However, maybe they haven't stumbled into that research. Maybe they don't even know what to type. Maybe that, you know, that's what I'm saying. There's a lot of things where folks get angry about this particular subject or laugh at people for asking simple questions. And to me, that's blatantly wrong. So no, I don't encourage people to go into forums. I don't encourage people to jump out there and go into that platform. I mean, what is your thought on it?
I mean, they should be used more for an educational purpose, not to, you know, just sit there and say what they're saying is the word of God. You know, I read forums myself, but then I'm like, you know, it's the same thing if somebody tells me a movie's horrible. Well, I got to make that decision for myself. I don't need somebody to tell me, oh, these speakers are horrible. Well, may be horrible to your ears,
If I believed movie critics all the time, I would have never seen Star Wars. There's not one Star Wars movie out there that would, in fact, there's a few that were right about at least the last Star Wars that were released. But every Star Wars movie out there, including the first one, got horrible critic reviews, but people were lining out around the block to go see it. So I just...
Drop Dead Fred didn't get good reviews, but I still like
that. Here's the danger of forums. The danger of going into these types of forums when you're a new person and you don't know a whole lot about it is you can find anybody. Because the thing is, you got to remember, some of these forums have a million members in them, you know, and you can find, out of a million people, you will find people that will align with your belief. But should you be finding people that align with your belief, or should you find people that are...
You should do both.
Well, but if your belief is wrong, that just validates your... That validates the...
Wrong, I think, in this world is subjective. You could say I'm wrong about a speaker, but am I? Because I hear differently than you do.
I would say to a degree it's subjective. I would say as far as room design and system design and placement, that's not subjective. That's physics. That's a physical, hey, this speaker will sound better if you put it here. That's where the expert comes into play. That's not a subjective thing. Now, a sonic frequency of a speaker, whether it's pleasant to my ears versus your ears, 100%. A video difference between what TV looks good and what TV doesn't look good, that's completely subjective because that's in the eye of the beholder. But placement of things that are physics that can be measured, you know, you can't measure the likeness of something. I mean, you can with a meter, but it's just because you measure it with a meter doesn't mean you'll like it or not. You know what I mean? But I can look at a room and tell you, this is where you're left, this is where you're center, this is where you're right, this is where your surrounds, this is where your Atmos goes, this is where everything else goes, this is where we need acoustic treatment, this is where we don't, this is where, you know, I can look at something from an eagle eye, because having built these things before, that to me is not subjective. Depending on now where you get into the hairy, weird, sticky area is, that's a really bad analogy. where you get into the weird area with this is, should you use this product in this size of room or not? Because some people will fight you till they're bloody in the face, but that becomes a weird trait. I don't think you can tame certain speakers down to put in a smaller room. I just don't think you can do it without causing other problems and other frequency problems. It's kind of like what we used to call video calibration, for instance, on a projector. There's only so much you can dim a bright projector before you start crushing all the other palettes. Well, you know what I mean?
It starts to look washed out.
Well, or too dark. It'll start to look too dark. All your colors become darker because you can only adapt that iris so aggressive to the point where it just starts squishing everything.
Starts looking muddy and blurry.
Right, exactly.
Even in focus.
In my opinion, speakers can fit into that same category. You know, speakers can fall into that same category because you can only tame down something with a compression driver so much before you start losing out on other things. So I don't know if that falls in a subjective category or not, T. I don't know.
Well, you know, I hear what you're saying, but you've also got some people that are going to be like, I need these Bowers & Wilkins speakers, and I know that you have to be this far out from the wall, and you really need a room this size and all, but that's what I want, and that's what I'm getting.
Well, and that's what we'll sell it to you.
Right.
But if you're
going to think, because they have built up in their head,
sure,
that is the sound. No matter what,
electrostatic speakers fall in that same category. You know, electric static speakers, you know,
can't stand those.
That you need to pull it away from the wall to get that large sound and less laser beam form sound.
Right.
You know, but you can't put that in a 12x12 room. You know, what are you going to do? Put them in the middle of the room? You know, and that's...
Well, that's like when we were in a client's home recently. There was one chair in that room that it sounded good in.
Yeah.
With being surrounded by
the
speakers.
Otherwise, it was either the left or the right. Right. Depending on
It didn't matter how you adjusted the speakers and all that. There was one spot, and that was it.
Yeah.
If you adjusted the speakers and turned them, then you redirected it to another spot that it sounded good in.
Here's the other part about that type of speaker. If you turn your head a certain way, it does the same thing. You know, and to me, you know, and I love that brand. I love Electrostat. I think Electrostats are really cool.
I think they're better for two-channel listening.
I think
they're
really good for two-channel. I think the box line, their version of the box line speaker exists for the theater category. I think that's what they market that to more than the two-channel category. Well,
the cabinet version of their speakers does better for theater.
Snap, crackle, pop, synthetic.
Yeah. Sure. You know, the other speakers. And I still would say that those electrostat speakers, and this is my, like, I don't care what anybody else says.
Okay.
Opinion is that those sound great for live recordings, but anything else, they don't sound good.
Yeah. Yeah, so I disagree on that, but that's okay. You know, I think they sound really, I do think they sound really good. I don't completely disagree. I agree.
Loud recordings, they put you there.
Yeah, they put you right there. Yeah, no, 100%. I think you've got to have the right acoustics in a room, and you've got to have the right room for that particular speaker. It's not a forgiving speaker in the wrong setting, which goes back to that first comment that no, there are some things about that the cinema topic that are not subjective. It's just, yeah, you can sit there and disagree all you want on that particular topic, but it doesn't mean that it's correct. It means that it's correct to you. And I think forums kind of cause that murkiness because, oh, well, there's another guy that says exactly what I did. Oh, look, there's 10 other guys that say exactly what I did. Oh, there's 10 other people that say exactly what I did. And that just validates the silliness of, you know, there's so many other things I want to say on that statement, but that just validates the crazy. And then that's what the experts have to compete with, because I can't tell you how many times we'll be on a consultation. Well, you know, I went to a forum, or I watched this video, or I watched it. That's why we're releasing these videos. That's why we're releasing these podcasts, because it's like, okay, maybe they'll hear it on our podcast and be like, oh, well, you know, they said something a little bit different. You know, why is it different? And create that curiosity, which is why we have a theater discussion, you know? So I think there are things 100%. I think brands are subjective to the listener. 100%. I think you're still at a limitation of the physics of the brand and how it behaves in certain areas. I think there are certain brands that you can't use in small rooms. I think there are certain brands that are made for large rooms, and there are certain brands that aren't made for large rooms, you know? And when you have a large room, you need big drivers. You need air movement. You need things like REL that you can put on high pass that, and so they think of REL differently as subwoofers. Put them on high pass and add a 10-inch driver to your towers or your bookshelves or things like that. So there's a lot of cool physics that you can do to enhance even smaller speakers to make them sound larger than life. So, but to go into that being subjective, yeah, I would agree. Some of that is subjective, but there's a lot of bad information on forums. There's a lot of people that just don't know what they're talking about. And there's a lot of mean people on there that just...
But some people they just want to argue, you know, and they use forums to argue with people and not have to get in front of you to do it.
Well, there are what I call keyboard warriors. There are people on forums that wouldn't dare say things in public or face to face that they would in human, just regular interaction across the counter from you. And same thing can be said for text messaging. You know, text messaging is instant communication. It's, you know, if you're in a bad mood, you read it like you're in a bad mood. If you're in a happy mood, you read it like you're in a happy mood, which is also equally dangerous because they may be in a bad mood and you're in a good mood. So it's just, to me, forums fall into that category, and things can be, because you're so quick to answer or quick to speak and not listen or not read what the people are saying, then because you just want to fire back. That's why forums have just been organically created, and a lot of these brands have been organically created on forums, you know. So rule number three, are they good for you? Is that opinion, are you, is that, you know, should you base a $10,000, $15,000, $20,000, $30,000 decision on something that you read from a complete stranger on Facebook or on YouTube? Where YouTube, you know as well as I do, most of those guys are in it for the monetization, which is why Technology Rocks exist. But, you know, but we're, you know, we're trying to be brand neutral and just shine a light on, hey, this brand is great for X, Y, and Z. This brand does a good job at X, Y, and Z. You know, I would not use a Corvette to tow a load of cinder blocks, even though it has the horsepower and torque to do so, you know? So
that'd be towing in style.
Very true, you know, but that's what I'm saying. It's,
you might rip the bumper out though.
Right, true. Well, no, you have trailer hitch. You know, you can put trailer hitches on those.
Okay, you might pull the rear axle.
Yeah, probably. Well, because it's geared different, but I'm a car guy. That's why I always go to cars. But that's what I'm saying is, you know, it's not, I don't even know if I should, we should consider this a rule. It's more of a statement, you know, it's more of a, should you or shouldn't you? My line of thinking is you shouldn't. My line of thinking is you should go listen to things. My line of thinking is you should go experience a kaleidoscope.
I would say, if you're going to say it's a rule, I would say it is a way to gather more information, but not something to base your decision.
Product awareness is a good statement. It's a,
because I found out about different speaker companies and all that I didn't know about.
Yeah.
You know, by reading some of these different forums and all that, and then I was like, oh, I didn't even know about that brand. And now I know about a brand that I didn't know about before, and I can use what I've learned off of that to go help compare the different things in person.
Right. No. So, I mean, there are brands out there that organically created themselves on forums. SVS is one of them. JTR is one of them. Emotiva is another good one out there that have organically created themselves on forums. You know, there's a lot of Golden Ear started out on forums and in magazines and on the sidebars of, you know, websites, sound and vision websites and things like that. They organically created themselves. You know, they also had the help of Sandy Gross, who created DefTech and Polk and several other companies that just knew how to get this in front of the right people. Whether it was a great speaker or not, that again, that's subjective. Whether people lined up with it or not, I thought it was an audiophile version of DefTech is what I thought. You know, DefTech has always been a muddy movie speaker. Golden Ear was more of a speaker that could be affordable by the masses. It sounded like an audiophile speaker because it was pushing the bass towards you, not bouncing it off the walls like the DefTech does.
Right.
But where they lost their way is they jumped into the category of it wasn't affordable anymore. You know, they started raising the prices of all their speakers, and now they started putting their speakers in categories that maybe they really didn't belong in. I don't know. That's, again, that's up to you. That's a subjective thing. But, you know, we always try to look at dollar per square inch, you know, dollar per, you know, what are you getting pound for pound? That's why Focal is such a heavyweight contender in its category, because if you compare Focal to another brand, which, no, I'm not going to say, but if you pay attention and listen to Focal in comparison to some of these other brands, pound for pound, you're getting more for your money. If you listen to something like Dyne Audio in comparison to some of these other brands, you're getting pound for pound more for your money. The other thing is, if you listen to Martin Logan or Bowers comparison to some of these other brands, it just depends on what you want to spend on these fronts. But Martin Logan, again, that's a really, you get a lot for your money when you go with something Martin Logan, if you're shopping, to your point, in the movie theater category or the movie cinema category. And then the two-channel category, it adds an experience that is like none other. You cannot make a box speaker sound like an electrostat. You can't do it.
Right.
The airiness and the way it uses the room, it's very much like sitting with a live artist in a room. You know, so if you're into that, then that's a really good jam for that. But that's what makes those particular brands very special when you're talking about it, you know. And then there's Paradigm, there's Triad, there's Monitor, there's a lot of different brands out there that do that. But when you start comparing and contrasting to them, what the direction I like to face someone in when it comes to design is, where does your money go further and what are you trying to achieve? What sound? That's why I say listen to a lot, because if this is the sound you like, then there's only certain ways we can mimic this or just do this. That's the easiest way. There's only certain ways we can jump off that springboard. But that's what I would say is, moving into that, you just have to be careful, you know. And that's why I say rule number two, listening is subjective. Go listen to it, you know, and then add a REL subwoofer to it on 3D and see if it makes, you know what, if I add this REL to this speaker, it actually sounds better than this speaker that costs twice as much and I'm only spending a third of the cost. You know, if I take a Focal Conta 1 and I put, or a pair of Conta 1s and I put T9s on it, or an S2 S512s on it, I can make it sound like a Conta 3, but spending a quarter of what a Conta 3 cost, you know? And so, because right. All you're doing is adding a driver to it. The same can be done for cinema. You know, in my opinion, the most neglected speaker in the cinema is the center channel. Everybody wants to talk about subwoofers, and everyone, why are people so focused on the front left and right speaker? You know, when 80% of what's coming at you is actually coming to the itty bitty speaker that's sitting down there where your feet are.
Well, those people may not be educated on what the center channel does.
There you go. So that's why this works. So rule number three, warning, before you purchase, just make sure to go listen to it, which should be really more rule number 2.A or 2A. But before you go buy it and swipe it, don't go listen to Bob Jones that on Home Theater Enthusiast Forum or whatever, and that's not a real person, by the way, that says
maybe
it could be this speaker is the best thing on the planet. This is what you should use. I see this all the time when people ask about Atmos speakers. Hey guys, what Atmos speakers should I use? The first,
I don't know which ones sound good.
Well, it's not that. It's what are you using in the front? What are you using for your front channels? Well, I'm using this and this. Okay, well, are you going to not use this and this in the foreseeable future? Well, probably not, because I really like them. Okay, well, then go. Well,
what sounds good with my realistic speakers?
What sounds good with my DevTech speaker? Well, right. Yeah, well, realistic. Sorry, dude. Paper drivers and Silk Dome tweeter. Yeah, no. So, which those exist. I think Triad still makes those, so. Lots and lots of stuff out there and lots of stuff to get opinionated. So I would just say be careful, and I'm still going to say go listen to stuff. Go to different stores. Go check it out. The problem is there's not one store where you can listen to it all, because they've demographically or geographically made that impossible, right, in a lot of cases. But, you know, there are other places out there besides Magnolia, Best Buy Premium, or whatever the hell they call it now. But there are a lot of other things out there besides that particular entity that exist. You know, you can go to Define, you can go to The Grid, you can go to Icon, you can go to 3MA, you can go to, you know, lots of a little small mom and pop audio shops to check that check the boxes. And what I would say is listen with your ears, not your fingers. You know, listen. Don't listen with your keyboard.
Don't listen with your wallet, because your wallet is not necessarily what's going to tell you what's good.
True.
It will affect what you can get, but it doesn't affect what's good.
I wish my wallet and my brain would align to what sounds good.
Exactly. I mean,
like Wilson Audio, like the Wilson Sashas.
Those Contas over there sound great, but my wallet ain't agreeing with me.
Yeah, no, the Wilson Sashas are probably one of the best speakers I've ever heard, and just my wallet does not align with those particular speakers.
Exactly my point.
So yeah, exactly. Yeah, it probably will never align with those particular speakers, but those are.
But then from there, you can figure out where you're going to step down to, and get close to the sound.
I don't even want to call it step down. I would say there are creative ways to move in that particular product field, and to try to mimic the best way you can with what's affordable. And that's the job of the designer. The job of the designer is to try to get you in front of things. The first thing we do is we put you in front of a bunch of things, and then we watch your body language, and then you don't realize it, but you will naturally... When you hear something you like, your body shifts. You know, you'll kind of sit back a little bit more. Your head will move forward a little bit because you're interested in it. You know, there are certain things that we watch for when listening to a certain speaker. You may not realize it or not, but we watch for it. And once we lock on to a brand like Paradigm or Martin Logan or Focal or Dyne or Bowers or, you know, whatever we're showing you at that point, then that's how we can move left or right on the financial scale, you know. And sometimes it takes switching to a different brand to get something that sounds similar to what you like, to get you in a price point that you belong in or you want to be in. So, but yeah, I think that's a cast, man. I mean, I don't know. So yeah, this is the longest cast we've actually ever been on this rainy day. I think it's raining tomorrow too, right? Raining Friday?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah, so, but if you made it this far, then the next cast will be about home cinema. I think we were just kind of in a weird mood because of the rainy day, and Tony and I have been moving 1,000 miles an hour throughout the week, and it's one of those things where it's just we've starting to kind of feel the weight of one of the things our RSS analytic team we've been discussing is consistency. You know, staying absolutely consistent with releasing and things like that, because that's one of the things they start looking for as you start going up the scales. We're now up to 472, so not quite 500. So that's 20 more than we had yesterday. But we're trying to get to over 1,000. That's where we're at. That's why we need your help. We need your help. If you find this information useful, share it with your friends. Send them the link to your friends. We just want to get out there to do what we're doing. We want to be the next Top Gear for technology, and to kind of get on that front in treat this type of subject in a conversational type of way instead of a Bueller seminar type of way where you want to bang your head against the desktop because it's so boring. And again, the hardest job that Tony and I have to do day in and day out is to make boring things interesting. So, and we're going by questions that and topics that pop up in here all the time, you know, electric cars, RF technology, affecting your sleep pattern and whatnot. So we had no clue this particular episode was going to go the way it did, but hey, you know what? It did. It went the way it went because that's where it went. So with that being said, I think that's a cast unless you have something to weigh in on, T.
Nope. I think we have gone pretty far today.
Okay. We've beaten this one into submission. Yeah. All right. So like or subscribe. Apple Podcast, Spotify, Amazon Music are the top three platforms you can find us on. If you see, Tony is actually doing the graphics on the Facebook, so he's actually posting links, or he and I are actually posting links of the shows. So if you can't find the show, if you go to our Define Audio Video Facebook page, you can actually click on the link right there. That'll take you to the show, and then you just hit save link or subscribe. It doesn't cost anything to subscribe. So right now it's free. We're not moving into a pay for service type of thing. We're way, 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 way far away from that. Not even close to that as of yet. But right now everything we're doing is free. We just need your help to get it out there. Tell your friends about us, as Batman would say.
Tell your friends about us.
Yeah. So, or as Tony the Forgotten would say, I don't know why he became British or Batman.
I don't know, man.
So, but like or subscribe. If you have any questions or you want to set up a consultation for home theater, for Wi-Fi optimization, for Kaleidoscape, you know, you want to take the Kaleidoscape challenge. That's when we actually bring a Kaleidoscape to your home and put one in your home and compare it to what you're watching to right now. That is a very dangerous challenge, by the way, because you can't unsee what you see or hear what you hear. We have never lost that challenge, by the way. Anytime we ever do that, people end up just getting one. So anyway, give us a call, 281-296-6600, Define Audio Video. You can also reach out to us at info@defineav.com. And that's a cast. We'll see you when we see you. I'm Justin.
And I'm Tony.
And we'll see you in a bit.